This is Teenage Sports. I'm your host, Michael Barra. Today we had a really good day of baseball. It was opening day for all clubs except for the Orioles and Red Sox and the Nationals and whoever they were supposed to play. Due to weather, I believe, in Baltimore or Wrigley and Washington having a COVID outbreak. So hopefully we don't see much of that, but yeah, that's to start, but let's go over some of these games. Really good day of baseball. Not sure if these, I believe these are in order that I'm going to go in. So, first game today, the Blue Jays beat the Yankees 3-2 on the mound for the Blue Jays was Hyunjin Ryu, and for the Yankees it was Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole got tagged for 2 runs, 2 walks, struck out 8. Hyunjin Ryu only got tagged for 2 as well. 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Hyunjin Ryu's really good, really underrated. I drafted him on my fantasy team. My fantasy team had a day as well yesterday, so I was very happy. I expected to have a good team, but they popped off. Now, I did have a lot of starting pitchers, and those guys usually get you a lot of points. But next, the Tigers beat the Indians 3-2. Shane Bieber threw 6 innings, gave up 3 walks, struck out 12. Miggy got a nice bomb in the snow. This was a snowy game. On the mound for the Tigers was Matthew Boyd. He did not allow a run, only 3 hits, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. So pretty good day for Matthew Boyd. Indians are going to be an interesting team to watch. They have a lot of good pitching still. It's really a shame if they could have kept all the pitching that they've had over the last 4 years. I mean, they've had Corey Kluber, Shane Bieber, Trevor Bauer, Max or Mike Clevenger, Carlos Carrasco. They got current guys like Zach Plesac, Tristan McKenzie, I believe is his name. They have some dogs, and they create pitching. I think it's their head coach, Terry Francona, is a very good pitching coach and one of the better head coaches, managers in the league. Now, I think baseball doesn't really matter if you have a good manager, but it definitely, a good one definitely puts you a bit above, but it's not like a football where you have a terrible manager, you're probably going to suck. If you have a bad manager in the MLB, I mean, it could lose you some games, but it may not mean the end of the world for that. Next game was the Twins versus the Brewers. The Brewers take this 6-5. Brewers pitched, Twins pitched Kenta Maeda. He went 4 1/3, giving up 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Next on the mound for the Brewer crew was Brandon Woodruff. He only went 4 innings, gave up 3 runs. A lot of the pitchers on opening day aren't going to go super deep in innings or into games. It's beginning of season, trying to preserve arms. Even if they do or are pitching good, like 3 runs through 4, you may still stay in there in a lot of days. But he got pulled pretty early. In the 4th, that's Brandon Woodruff. Next, Pirates win 5-3 over the Cubs. Good game from the Pirates, a team that's not expected to be good at all. Just like my Texas Rangers. Chad Kuhl pitched 3 innings, gave up 1 run. I'm not sure why they only gave him 3 innings. Maybe trying to do more of a Kevin Cash thing with just get your starters to get a few innings, then let the bullpen guys get an inning. And that's what they did, 3 innings, and then bullpen just came in 1 inning, and they pitched really good out of the bullpen. Cubbies pitched probably one of my favorite pitchers in the league, Kyle Hendricks. He does not throw like 90. I mean, he can and he can hit it, but that's not his concern. He's really good at the throwing sinker and just control in general. He got a got dinked up a bit. Only went three innings, gave up three runs and three walks. Unlike him, but he's still one of my favorite pitchers to watch just because he's so different. Next, the Phillies beat the Braves 3-2. On the mound for the Braves was Max Fried, really good young pitcher. He went five innings, gave up two, struck out eight. The greatest player of all time, Pablo Sandoval, came in, pitch hit, and hit a dong shot for two RBIs. I want to talk about how that fool has stayed on rosters all these years. Like, that's, he is a prime example of someone that should have been cut and gone out of the league. Like, I mean, I love Pablo, but after his Giants days and then going and signing a big contract with the Red Sox, I don't know how that fool still gets on teams, but I respect it. He ain't cutting weight. They try to tell him to cut weight, he ain't cutting weight. Love it. On the mound for the Phillies was Aaron Nola. He got the win in this contest, I believe, or I'm not sure who got the win, but Aaron Nola went 6 2/3, giving up two, no walks, striking out six. Good start for him. He's really, really good. Drafted him as well. Not a lot of offense at this game. Rays win 1-0 against the Marlins. The Rays pitched Tyler Glasnow, had a really good game. He only gave up one hit, struck out six. Not a super strong Marlins team, but they still made the playoffs last year, so take what you want from that. Sandy Alcantara went six innings, didn't give up a run, two walks, seven strikeouts, two hits. They lost it in the eighth inning, it looks like, with Yimi Garcia, who gave up the run out of the bullpen. That probably was not a super fun game to watch, I'll be honest with you. A little bit more scoring here. Cardinals win 11-6 against the Cincinnati Reds. Cardinals pitched Jack Flaherty. He gave up six. Not a great start for him. He's really good, though. I really like him. His Reds team's, I think, still a decent team hitting-wise. They had a lot of down seasons. Almost their whole lineup just had a down season last year, and I think they really can recover. They got some young guys like Jonathan India. Nicholas Castellanos is still really good. They pitched Luis Castillo. He had a rough day. Only went 3 1/3. Gave up eight runs, eight hits, two walks, didn't strike out anybody. So he's a young gun, really good, but he had a rough day against that Cardinal lineup. Nolan Arenado in his Cardinals debut went 2-for-5, scored a run. Goldschmidt went 4-for-5, scored three runs. That back-to-back. It's going to be really good. Honestly, back-to-back-to-back, because Paul DeJong is extremely good. He went 1-for-5. He's their shortstop, one of the better hitting shortstops in the league. Very underrated. Unexpected game. Dodgers lose 5-6 to the Rockies. Dodgers pitch Clayton Kershaw. He got the opening day nod. Kershaw gave up five runs on 10 hits, one walk, and two strikeouts. Definitely a game that you're not going to expect him to pitch a lot. I was kind of surprised they gave him the opening day nod. I mean, he's still one of the best pitchers in baseball, but after starting to get a little bit older and stuff, I was thinking they may give it to Buehler. But Rockies pitched Herman Marquez. He went four innings, gave up one run. He walked six, so he raised his pitch count. That's probably why he got taken out so early. Gave up six hits and struck out two. Their second pitcher is Chichi Gonzalez, or I believe Alex Gonzalez, old Ranger. That's kind of cool to see him still on the roster or playing baseball. He had a rough day, gave up three out of the bullpen, two innings of work. He's probably their long reliever. I think he took some starts back in the day. It's always cool to see cool old Rangers getting some time. As if you do not know by how I'm talking, I'm a Rangers fan. We'll get to that game in a second. Really good game here. Padres beat the Diamondbacks 8-7. Diamondbacks showed life. Ketel Marte had a really good day, went 4-for-5. I drafted him along with their first baseman, Christian Walker. They threw Madison Bumgarner to be their opening day starter. I hope he gets it going because I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer just because, I mean, he's had really good seasons, regular seasons, but he's one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. But I also don't want to see him slowly fall out of the limelight and end his Hall of Fame career slowly to make him maybe not get as many votes. Like, I just want him to continue to compete and continue to be good because he's one of the coolest pitchers to watch, and I've always liked him. But he went 4 innings, gave up 6, 7 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Padres threw Yu Darvish as their opening day starter. He gave up 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. And then the bullpen was able to clean it out, not giving up a run. No, that's not correct. Where's the other run? They only... If Yu Darvish gave up 4 runs, one of these relievers had to... Yeah, okay. Well, there's some other runs in there. Unless I'm just awful at doing math, but I can't be. There's 3 magical runs that are on there, but I'm using Google. It's probably my fault. Next, the Rangers game. I thought I was gonna be buying freaking World Series tickets after that first inning. First inning, the Rangers bat around 10 batters, score 5. Lineup looked extremely good. IKF, Isaiah Kiner, Falefa went 1-for-5. David Dahl, new addition to the Rangers lineup from the Rockies, went 3-for-5. Gallo went 2-for-3 with 2 walks. Nate Lowe had a pretty decent day, 2-for-6 with 4 RBIs. Eli White, 2-for-4. Really good day out of the boys. And then Kyle Gibson comes in to pitch. Our considered ace, an opening day pitcher, gets 1 out and gives up 5. I'm not going to go through all that bullpen stuff. It was bad. Anybody that could give up a run was giving up runs. That's how they scored 24 runs in total for both teams combined, give up 24 runs. Brad Keller was the Royals' opening day starter. He gave up 6 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, didn't get a strikeout. Their bullpen had issues, but it wasn't as bad as the Rangers. Angels beat the White Sox 4-3. White Sox threw Lucas Giolito out as their opening day starter. He went 5 1/3, gave up 2 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Not a bad day for him. He's really good. Angels threw Dylan Bundy, gave up 6 runs in 6 innings. I'm very impressed by him because he started his career super high drafted, and he's always been a high prospect for the Orioles, and then never could really get it going, never really got the call up, and when he did, he wasn't very good. And then he came over to the Angels last year and went insane, had a really good season. I think he was probably top 10 in Cy Young voting, or at least up there. And then maybe some believe that it was just because of the short season. A lot of people had really weird years, you know. And then he starts the season off with a pretty solid start. White Sox lineup is really good, so that's what you like to see. Astros beat the Oakland Athletics 8-1. Astros threw out Zach Greinke, the GOAT, for 6 innings, didn't give up a run. The Athletics threw out Chris Bassett. He gave up, in 5-1 innings, or 5 1/3, sorry. He gave up 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. The bullpen did not hold up for the Athletics. And last game of the day, the Seattle Mariners beat the Giants 8-7. Kevin Gausman went 6 2/3 for the Giants, gave up 1 run on 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Excuse me. Really good day for him. Bullpen didn't hold up at all. Marco Gonzalez for the Mariners went 6 innings, gave up 5 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. And that was the day of baseball, opening day. Great baseball being played. it's just good to have baseball back in general, and it's gonna be an exciting year, full season. Next, I'm going to segue into some of the rule changes that are being experimented in baseball currently. Not in the actual league. So baseball has many levels of minor leagues. They have a AAA, AA, High A, Low A, Low A West, and Low A Southeast. So it's just all separated around the United States. Usually you're each team has usually a AAA, AA, High A, Low A West, and Low A Southwest. So every team has one of those programs. They have a set roster, and it's usually played closer to their home stadium, but sometimes they're a little bit scattered out, and those affiliates, they make money off those players. Those players play, they try to get better, and then they try to get called up to the majors. That's pretty much how the minor league system works. So these are some of the rule changes that are being experimented in the minor leagues, just because they wouldn't want to bring drastic stuff to the major leagues, which is good. In AAA, they're experimenting with larger bases with less slippery surfaces. I mean, I don't have any issues with this. A few inches isn't going to change play. Like, it's not going to, if you extend it a ton, like a few inches, it's not going to make it easier to get a single on like a close play. I honestly think it's just going to make it easier for the umpire to see when the foot lands. We won't have as many slips on bases, because when wet, those things can get pretty slippery, even with your metal spikes. So that's probably the least controversial one here. I don't see how many people could have any issues with that one. In AA, this is a big one that I am for, but there's many that are against it, and we can talk about that. This is in AA. All four infielders must be positioned on infield dirt. So that's trying to block out mega shifts. We've seen shifting become super prevalent over the last 10, 15 years. It's where certain players that are hitting have an expected place where they hit a lot. And so what that does is the team knows that if a guy like Joey Gallo, who hits it a lot on the right side of the field because he's a lefty, then a lot of teams will have three infielders over there trying to block every single hole for a ground ball or a liner. And it makes Joey Gallo's job a lot harder to hit the ball over there. Now that leaves the left side of the field super open, but hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, and that you can't even argue that with me. So shifting and making it even harder for the ball when hit, actually hit, to land, I feel is not great. And with this rule, you can still shift, mightily shift, and you can't have guys in the outfield, and this doesn't even solve the big issue. So you could still have three guys on one side of the field. I think there should be a rule set where they need to be in the dirt, and there needs to be two position players on each side of the second base. So you would have your first baseman, second baseman on the right side, and shortstop and third baseman on the left side. Simple. That's how baseball has been played for many years. And obviously some will hate that, because that takes away some of the coaching and the, like, being smart about how you do things. It takes some of the strategy out of baseball. But I also want to see hits and want to see action. But I think, because there's been some shifts where there's four guys on one side of the field, and I just think the drastic amount of that happening right now is a bit ridiculous. So say what you want about that rule, everyone's going to think different about it. Pitchers must step off rubber to attempt pickoff moves. I don't see many people get picked off anyway. So I don't think they should enact this, because that would make it even harder for pitchers to pick people off, because they can't do like slide steps and stuff. So they'd have to fully step off the mound or the rubber and spin, turn, and get him, instead of like a lefty who can just step off directly, like towards the base. So I think that rule's dumb. Limit of 2 pickoff attempts per plate appearance. That's to stop. That's to speed up the game at college games, especially, which are extreme, are sometimes longer than MLB games, or a lot of time longer than MLB games. Stealing bases is a lot more prevalent down there. To gain extra bases, it's super big. A lot of those guys can run, and some of those pitchers will pick off 6 to 7 times before they even throw their first pitch, just to tire the guy out or try to see if you can get the pick down. And if you get it, then you eliminate a base runner and you get an out. I don't think you should be able to cap that. I hate when pitchers pick off about 8 to 9 times on a batter and one plate appearance. It sucks. It's so boring. But that's just one where it is what it is, because let's say you pick off twice, then that runner, in theory, could get as big of a lead as he wants, and you can't pick him back off. I mean, I don't know how they would exactly do that. So I think that one's a little silly. The one that I said before that, the pitchers must step off rubber to attempt pickoff, that was for high A, and the one that I just talked about for pickoff attempts was for low A. Low A West has a 15-second pitch clock. I agree with that. I think you need to speed it up. You got pitchers throwing at one pitch every like 30 to 40 seconds. You need to speed that up. There is no reason for that. That's on the batter too. They need to step in the box, be ready to hit. And Low A Southwest has automated balls and strikes. I would assume that's just through camera or something. No umpire. It takes a bit of the human element out of the game, but it just matters how perfect we want that to be, because you got umpires like Angel Hernandez and Joe West who are making a mockery of the game, but you also got really good umpires that call good fair strike zones. And I think there's something to be said about umpires having a little bit individual strike zones and players having to play with those strike zones. Now, if the ball's right down the middle and an umpire doesn't call it, that's just a bad call. And it just matters how much you want to dictate that. But those are the current rules being experimented. Like I said, I like a few of them, but a few of them are a little bit wonky. I don't know what else they could experiment with. I am a big component on speeding up the game, or big, like, I'm for it. Obviously, you're not going to see many games like this, but the Rangers and Royals game, there was 24 total runs. That you're not going to see that all the time in every game. That doesn't happen. But that game was almost 5 hours. That's ridiculous. So I think with a pitch clock, getting people ready to hit, just speeding up commercial times. I know that advertisers would hate that. And they all want their money, but I think it's important to keep that the game under that 3-hour limit that should be set, because 3 hours, I think, is your cap. Now, obviously, you're going to have extra innings and extra baseball being played, but for a base game that's like 4-3 or 1-2 or even like 7-4 or something, you got to figure out how to keep it under 3 hours. But that was opening day. That's all I have. I appreciate if you are listening. I have a lot of other good podcasts on football and just a bunch of sports. I did a mock draft a few days ago for football. If you are listening, please share. Please like. It is very appreciated. This has been Teenage Sports with your host, Michael Barra. And thank you. Goodbye.